This is Al Anderson. I'm with Bernie Shovitz this morning on the 28th of August 2015 to interview him regarding his association with Dr. Irene Fisher. Bernie, before we begin, please confirm for me that you agree to the recording of this interview and to the right of NGAA to make copies of the recording available to NGAA, the Society of Women Geographers, the Library of Congress, the Association of Mapping Seniors, and to Irene Fisher's family.
Yes.
Please speak up a little bit.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Bernie, I'd like at the outset if you could describe your professional association with Irene Fisher and what years and the relationship and so forth.
From 1952 to 2009, when she died, I was more or less continuous in touch with her. We worked very closely together and I professionally from 1952 to for about 5 years to about 1957. Then I transferred to other areas, but we kept in touch with each other personally, although we didn't collaborate professionally. She retired 1977, and around 2002, we kept in touch with each other socially. She was Jewish. I'm Jewish. I went to her son's bar mitzvah and things like that. In 2002 or 2003, she and her son Michael got in touch with me to see about publishing her memoirs. So we were associated then more closely through correspondence and so forth, and until her death in 2009. So the time I knew her could be divided in those three sections: our close professional relationship, 5 years, and then an extended period where we were just in touch with each other socially, but we weren't involved too much professionally. And then the last 5 or 6 years of her life where I was very much involved in about getting her memoirs published. Irene went to work at the Army Map Service in 1952. She was 45 years old. I'd been at the Army Map Service there since 1948. And I was 17 years younger than her. And
Both doing geodetic work, right?
Yes, we worked. We came in. There was a geodetic division there, headed by Floyd Huff. They had a number of branches. One of the branches was called the Research and Analysis Branch, and John O'Keefe was the head of that branch. I went to work for him when I went to work at the Army Map Service in 1948, and by 1952 I was a section chief. When Irene came in 1952, she was assigned to my section. So, a little strange, I was 28 years old, she was 45 years old, but I was her supervisor. And I interviewed her, and of course, but John, as far as being a mentor, I was a mentor for her, but not the primary mentor. John O'Keefe definitely was the primary mentor. He was the one who really inspired the whole branch and set the tone, decided what should be done. But John O'Keefe gave an assignment, he expected you, to carry it out. You could carry out everything yourself. Irene and I worked on a number of projects together when she first came in, and we were assigned this big project, really a big project. The Army Map Service wanted to make a revision of the size of the Earth. And without going into too much detail on it, Irene and I collaborated in determining a new value for the size of the Earth. This was published in 1956 or 1957 in the Transactions of the American Geophysical Union, and was titled A New Determination of the Figure of the Earth from Arcs. The Army Map Service had sent teams out in the field in Africa to connect
the 30th parallel.
And the doing this and using similar arcs available in the Western Hemisphere, we're able to determine a new value of the semi-major axis. Actually, the title, A New Determination of the Figure of the Earth, is misleading because the figure of the Earth involves both the semi-major axis and the flattening, and we had no information on the flattening. So it was a new information. The title should have been A New Determination of the Size of the Earth, because what we did was there was a value, a standard value for the flattening used at that time, and we used that value, and we got a determination of the semi-major axis using that value. Now, what we got since then, the value of the flattening has been refined, gotten and changed, mostly due to satellite observations. And if you use the latest value of the flattening, and then it turns out that the size we got would change, and if you used the value of flattening, the modern value, rather than the value you used, the size of the Earth that we came up with, some major axis, would be with very close, almost the same as the accepted value today, which is obtained by much more refined methods. So that was something that was I'm still very proud of, the fact that we did that work. And then Irene and I spent at least 2 or 3 years together on that.
She came in there. She was a mathematician, of course, but she didn't have any geodesy background, did she?
Very few people did. I didn't have any geodesy background when I came in. No, she discusses this in her memoir. She said, geodesy, what's that? She went to work there. The reason she came in there was because her husband worked there. And that was one reason. Of course, the first reason was she wanted to make a little money, to help send her kids to college, help out the. She could have gone to a number of places like the David Taylor Model Basin, for example. I think she had an offer from there, but she chose the Army Map Service simply because her husband worked there. They could commute much more easily together.
Mm.
So, geodesy didn't mean anything to her at all, and. When she first came in there, O'Keefe and I interviewed her, but she was she had no idea what geodesy was. But she was you could tell she was very bright, and of course she was already 45 years old. But that didn't most mathematicians hit their peak in their 20s, but this Irene was still she was sharp as a tack, she knew what she wanted to know. You didn't have to coach her very hard or anything. She picked up things very quickly.
So then, when you left, and then she took over a unit there, did she not?
But the section that I belonged to was called the Geoid Section, and later they inflated it to a branch. The Research and Analysis branch became the Research and Analysis Division. The Geodetic Division became the Department of Geodesy.
Oh, yes.
They all inflated to help getting promotions. When I left there in 1956 or 57, there were some other people in the branch. Emmanuel Sedano, I don't know if your name means anything to you.
Sedano?
Sedano.
Yeah, the Sedano Azimuth? They named a procedure for him called the Sedano Azimuth, and
I'm not sure if that he was his specialty was what they call long lines.
Well, this was for long lines.
That's what he That was anyhow. He was the he was next to me in seniority, so he took over. Irene mentions in her memoirs that it was fine with her, you know, that she didn't want the responsibility of running a section. But I'm not sure if, but she took over the geoid branch. I'm not sure exactly when and why Sedano may have retired or something. Like, I don't remember that exact circumstances, but she took it over, sometime in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And and of course that's where she stayed till she retired. Incidentally, just jump ahead about her retirement. She retired in 1977 because she was forced to retire because she was 70 years old, and that was the rule in those days. The rule was changed about less than a year after she left. They changed the rule, but there was no more mandatory retirement.
I remember that.
And she was interested in coming back in, but I don't know. I think she rubbed some people the wrong way, and she mentioned this in her memoirs. She didn't get along with a lot of people, or they didn't get along with her. She refers to the bureaucracy, which is really, you know, she had a lot of not nice things to say about them. The one thing she did, though, she did not do, which disappointed me in the memoirs, she praised a lot of people, and she would mention them by name, but the people she didn't get along with, she never mentioned any names. It was always, I always was a little disappointed trying to guess who she was talking about.
Well, I guess she was being kind.
Well, I don't know.
Diplomatic. But kind of related to that, in your time at the Army MAF Service, what can you say about the status of professional women in the workforce there? Were they well respected and given full opportunities and so forth?
In O'Keefe's branch, O'Keefe was one of a kind. He was a great man. He was in every way you could think of. He was very and another thing. He was completely open minded. I could tell you a lot of stories about him, but this is about Irene. And he, as far as women were concerned, one of his section chiefs was a woman. He had women working. He made no discrimination at all among the women. Hmm. His branch had a number of sections. One of the sections there, the astronomic section, there was a woman who's still, Nora Taylor. She lives in Kensington. She's still around. She's in her middle of her 90s. She was a section chief. There were other women in there, and as far as O'Keefe was concerned, you know, he didn't discriminate against. He had no, as long as they were doing their work, that's fine with him. But in the Army MAP Service as a whole, this is not a definitive remark, but my observation was there were very few women who were, any position, any high position, like a department chief or somewhere on the commanding officer's staff or anything of that nature. I can't recall any women at that stature. And when Irene, she continued up the ranks. She got to be eventually, I think, she reached GS-15 level, and she may have been, but the only one at that time to get up that high. But that was the general prevalence. The Army MAP Service was not unusual. back in the, you know, in the 50s, the 60s, women just didn't have the position. I can tell you one story about that. When I wrote, when I set up her obituary for the American Geophysical Union, she it was either that or that centennial tribute. I got the editor of he was the executive director of the American Geophysical Union, who I knew very well. He told me what he'd like to see in there. He'd like to see what she had done, especially her relationship to the American Geophysical Union, and what you know, what offices she had held, you know, and so forth. You know, she'd been, how active she'd been with the, in the American Geophysical Union. And I wrote back to him and I said, well, she became a fellow of the American Geophysical Union, which is, you know, a great technical honor. But as far as holding any offices in the, you know, like these, like being the president of the section of geodesy like I was and O.B. Williams was, I said, she retired in 1977. And I said, I went back and researched the American Geophysical Union at that time. And no woman had ever become a section president. By 1977, no one had become a section president.
Is that right? Yeah.
Well, I think things have changed nowadays. But
yeah, that was the times. As you say, the Army Map Service was probably no different than any place else. But in the case of Doc O'Keefe, though, he was a more broad-minded, or if you will, more open person as a leader.
He definitely was. Yeah.
That was great. When Irene and you did that work on updating the figure of the Earth, was the achievement well recognized right away, or?
Yes, it was. I'm sure you've heard of Wyko Heiskanen. He was the first director of the Department of Geodesy at the set it up at the Ohio State University.
Mm. Yes,
he was the president of the International Association of Geodesy, and you know, he was a world famous geodesist, and he was trying to do the same thing. He was trying to revise, get a new, improved information about the figure of the Earth. But he was doing it mostly by examining gravity measurements throughout the Earth. Whereas what we were doing, we were using, you know, more like geometric methods, you know, long surveying arcs, things of that nature. So they weren't opposing; they were complementary. So Heiskanen called his thing, but he had a certain name for it, and he was being subsidized by I'm not sure if it was the Air Force or AC, it was the Air Force, ACIC was involved in subsidizing his work. Anyhow, in 1956, when we published this, we made a presentation to the AGU on this. He immediately sees it, said this is a great piece of work, and you know, recognition. And then he said, really, of course, he proposed that we take this and he'd like to work together and put stuff together and
apply his geodetic components.
Also his gravity work. Hmm. And so it received, you know, very good definition. What it supplanted was the old semi-major axis, which had been approved by the International Association of Geodesy back in the 20s, the Hayford, it's mm-hmm. called the Hayford mm-hmm. ellipsoid, the international ellipsoid, and that was, it was already recognized at that, no, before then, that the it was too large, the number of studies that come up was too large, but to come down to something definitive, a certain amount, what it should be. This was about the first one that did that. Around the same time, immediately the Russians came up with something, and which was called the Krasovsky ellipsoid. I remember they were all about the same size. So it did get, to answer your question,
it got immediate
recognition in the international geodetic field. Yeah.
You touched on the fact that Ohio State, with some sponsorship from the Air Force, ASIC, was pursuing gravity as another factor in determining the geoid.
And ACIC, in-house in St. Louis, they themselves, you know, there were a lot of geodesists there who covered that area.
Yeah, but they were focused a great deal on the gravity component over then. I think that now, you know, I was working on the mapping side, so I'm hearsay for me, but I understand it was a lot of dissension or back and forth between the Army geodesist and the Air Force geodesist.
Nothing personal. I don't think it was anything personal.
No, personal, no.
Nothing like that.
The professional disagreements, so.
Yeah. Well, do you know the story between DOD 1960, the World Geodetic System? You know, DOD set up, this was the first one, the first World
right.
Geodetic System they ever set up. And at the Army Map Service, Irene collaborated with, at that time, O'Keefe had left around 1958 to go to NASA, Goddard, and Bill Kahla. Everybody knows Bill Kahla. Bill was there at the Army Map Service and took over from O'Keefe, and he and Irene collaborated on a solution for WGS 1960, and ACIC did the same thing. Well, they use different types of, Army Map Service one was mainly based on these long arcs and further surveying information they obtained. The ACIC one was based mostly on gravity. And the results were not, they didn't match. They were different. More than they should have been. It wasn't just within a margin of, you know, the standard error or something like that. It was more than that.
Right.
So the next level up, who weren't scientists, but, you know, I guess they were some of the order, you know, generals or colonels or something like that. They had a meeting, and they said, well, the only thing we can do is we'll take the arithmetic mean.
That was the solution.
That was the solution. That was World Geodetic System 1960 was the arithmetic solution of the Army Map Service determination and the ACIC determination. So I don't think either one was satisfied, and I don't think they ever came to any consensus. So professionally, to answer your question, I think there were always these professional differences. I don't think that one ever, you know, convince the other point of view.
I think it was still going on even after the Defense Mapping Agency was created, which organizationally brought them together. But I think it began to improve by moving people back and forth.
Yeah.
How about you talk about your Irene as a person, and did she socialize with the people she worked with? Can you talk about that at all?
Oh yeah, she definitely socialized. I shouldn't put it this way, but even though she was a what do they call them nowadays, feminist in the sense that she didn't believe that women should be separated or something like
right.
that, and If you know, instead of men always open doors for women, she thought it was equally possible that women could open doors for men. But at the Army Map Service, she socialized more with the women there. They have women's clubs, they have men's clubs, and they had a women's group there. Thelma and Robinson Joy Trickett, they're all part of that. They socialized together. more so than, you know, they socialize with men, and that's natural. I mean, after
sure.
all,
yeah.
For various reasons. But she was, you know, she was social in that sense. But Irene was, because of her age and her stature, the fact that she was, you know, she was older than, you know, than the other woman. She was one of the older women in the branch. She had a little. She was not. No, I don't know exactly how to put it. The social relationship mostly was that she was, you know, in other words, the women in the research analysis branch more or less looked up to her in a certain way. But there was no, you know, as far as socializing with the people there, she got along with them. And as far as the men, there were other people there in other branches, you know, for various reasons she knew. And of course, her husband was, as far as socializing, or her husband was the, they were very close, she and her husband.
Where did he work in the map service?
He was a geographer. They had a geographical name section there.
Oh yes, in the one of the references section or something like that. So he was in the geographic names area.
Yeah. Hmm. But they socialized around there in the Army Map Service. Mm-hmm. And personally, in my case here, as I said, we had a lot in common. First of all, we were both Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and so we, as far as going, you know, attending services at synagogues, I remember that.
So she and her husband were living in the same general area that you were. Or close enough to go to the same synagogue.
No, we didn't go to the same synagogue.
Oh,
we went to different synagogues. So she lived out there in Tacoma Park somewhere in that area, and she belonged to something out there, and we're right here. But as I've told you before, I think we went to her son's bar mitzvah, and